Keir Starmer, who prides himself on being a human rights lawyer, has now turned in to one of the most repressive prime ministers this country has ever seen. On his watch, peaceful protesters have been arrested and jailed. On his watch, the leading figures of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign and the Stop the War movement have been arrested and charged. On his watch, two MPs have been dragged into a police station and forced to give an interview to the Metropolitan Police and now await a decision about whether they too will be prosecuted. This has not happened before. It is the most draconian attack on civil liberties that we've seen for more than a generation. This kind of action doesn't happen just at the level of the Met Police. This has got to have happened with the knowledge and with the instruction, not only of the Home Secretary Yvette Cooper, but of the Prime Minister as well. The Metropolitan Police have acted in the most openly politicised way that I can remember. They openly admit that they were pressured into doing this. They were lobbied by the Board of Deputies and the CST, the Community Security Trust. Mark Rowley, on the day after these events, went to address the Jewish Board of Deputies. The Gold Commander, on the day of this demonstration, that is the most senior policeman in charge of the policing on that day, says that he's been seeing the Zionist organisations and their leaders every day before the demonstration. I'm sorry, this is an unacceptable intrusion into the way in which the demonstrations are being policed. The Metropolitan Police are being told what to do by the political opponents of these demonstrations. In fact, they even organised a Zionist counter-protest in Whitehall on the same day that we were essentially restricted to a few hundred yards of that road. I think we've reached an absolutely remarkable state. The most fundamental, the most normal, the most routine form of political protest has now been effectively banned. This is something which is centuries old. This is something that the Levellers did in the 17th century, that the Chartists did in the 19th century, that the suffragettes did. This is something which is deep in the bone of British people, their ability to take to the streets to protest about political developments that they don't like. And if you abrogate that, if you diminish that, if you withdraw that, you are no longer living in a democratic society. Well, we all know that if this were happening in Russia, if this were happening in China or North Korea, the press in this country would be in an absolute fit of disapproval. There would be banner headlines. There would be raging about lack of democracy and civil liberties. Every citizen in this country should be feeling like that about these events in their own country. Freedom of assembly is probably the most important civil right that we have. Keir Starmer is an enormously authoritarian figure. If you think about the background here, he claims to be a human rights lawyer, but that is a claim that requires examination. He was actually a human rights advisor to the Northern Ireland Police Force, which is a notoriously reactionary police force. He was then director of public prosecutions. Now, you don't become director of public prosecutions in this country unless you are an absolutely safe law and order, a pair of hands for the establishment. And he seems to have allied to that the most kind of narrow and prescriptive middle-class mentality. He's got that whole schoolmaster tone, isn't he? That, you know, if you do anything or say anything he doesn't like, that you'll be, you know, round his office after school and caned a few times. The only thing you can really say that Starmer is very, very good at is hunting down the left. In fact, it's slightly hard not to see the calling in of John McDonald and Jeremy Corbyn for a police interview as the extension of internal Labour Party factional fighting by means of police powers. The idea that Jeremy Corbyn would be brawling with the police is just an impossible thought. And not only Jeremy, I mean, beside him was Stephen Kaposch, who's a Holocaust survivor in his 80s. The idea that he pushed aside a few burly Met officers to force his way up into Trafalgar Square to place flowers to commemorate the dead in Gaza is just ludicrous. The Metropolitan Police are lying their head off about what happened at the top of Whitehall, and everybody can now see this for themselves. There is absolutely mountains of video of the police ushering through the demonstrators.
Please make it way up.
to be frank, that was a sensible thing to do. And anybody who was there would have automatically drawn the conclusion that the police had relaxed the restrictions on the demonstration. The Metropolitan Police's excuse for banning the assembly point at the BBC was that some 200-300 yards away in a back street that nobody previously realised was there, a synagogue existed, and that it was unacceptable to be that close to a synagogue. The Metropolitan Police also admitted that there's never been any threat or any damage or any hurt caused to any synagogue or to any worshipper in any synagogue by any of the Palestinian demonstrations. So I think we have to read this as a very poor and threadbare excuse for the clampdown on the movement. And of course, we're very well aware of the weaponization of anti-Semitism right back through Jeremy Corbyn's leadership of the Labour Party to try and discredit the left. One of the most damaging things about this is that it attempts to homogenize the Jewish community and pretend that all the Jewish community all hold one identical political position, and that identical political position is Zionist support for the State of Israel. Now, anybody who gives this a moment's thought, or indeed knows anything about the very long and very admirable tradition of Jewish radicalism, will know that this cannot be and is not true. And some 800 Jews wrote a letter about this very demonstration, saying that the positions that were being taken by the Board of Deputies and by the Metropolitan Police were not necessary, and that they did not agree with the politics of them. And of course, you know, Jewish radicalism is written through the entire history of the left. I'm an admirer of one German Jew called Karl Marx, of a Russian or Ukrainian Jew called Leon Trotsky. I was taught my politics by a man called Yigael Gluckstein, and a lot of the people who I work alongside every single day are Jews. So it's the most ridiculous calumny to pretend that they're all Zionists. Nobody could possibly say that these demonstrations aren't over an important issue. We had at the beginning of the Israeli invasion of Gaza all this stuff about, oh, we hit one hospital and that was a mistake, we didn't mean to do it. And now every hospital has been hit, every school has been hit, every street has been reduced to rubble. We know that tens of thousands of people have lost their lives. And the figure given by the Palestinian Health Authority, we're about to find out, I believe, is a very, very great underestimate. I think many tens of thousands more people than the 47,000 people currently listed will have been killed. So if you aren't allowed to protest over this, what on earth are you going to be allowed to protest over? I think the criminalization of protest over Palestine is an international experience. The German state is considerably in advance of us at the moment. Similarly, very, very draconian restrictions in France and other places. So there's a very, very strong headwind that the Palestine Solidarity Movement has been bucking in order to get where it's got. That said, it has been a remarkable movement. You'd have to go back a long way in British history to find a period of 15 months in which there have been 23 demonstrations, all of them over 100,000 people, one of them close to a million people. That's as big as Iraq, probably more people on the streets over a short period of time. Back before that, you'd be looking at the suffragettes or the Chartists in the 19th century, and that gives you some sense of what an historic movement it is. It also gives you some sense of why they are so concerned, because when lots of people do it lots of times, it alters the entire political environment. That's what happened over Iraq. That's what's happened over this. It puts the government in a situation where 66% of the British population support the demands of the marchers for a ceasefire. Nearly as many people want a total arms boycott on Israel. Those kind of mass social shifts, which only mass movements on this scale produce, they're the real dagger at the neck of reactionary governments. Now, millions of people in this country do support the Palestine Solidarity Movement, but you might not be one of them. But believe me, if you let this happen to us, you will be the next target. The next group of people the government just doesn't happen to like, just doesn't want to protest, will have their collar felt by the Met and will find themselves up in court on the most serious charges. I've organised demonstrations for decades now. I organised the biggest political demonstration in British history against the Iraq War. And I take the right to demonstrate absolutely seriously, whether or not I agree with the cause. I don't like some of the causes supported on the streets of this country, but those people have the right to demonstrate. And if you don't protect that right, then the entire political fabric in this country is under threat. We already have the most restrictive trade union laws in Europe. We've seen the treatment of other demonstrators on other issues singled out and given incredibly heavy prison sentences for entirely peaceful protests. So it's looking like an across the board blanket assault on the ability of ordinary working people to organise either economically or politically in this country. The right to demonstrate politically in the streets of this country goes back hundreds of years. This was won for us by the Levellers, the Chartists, the Suffragettes, and Keir Starmer, supposedly a Labour Prime Minister, is taking an axe to those rights. He and Yvette Cooper instructed the Metropolitan Police to first ban and then arrest senior members of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign and the Stop the War Coalition. They're now having them dragged in front of the courts under the Public Order Act for organising an illegal demonstration, a demonstration which was entirely static, entirely peaceful, and a delegation of whom only moved when the police said that they could. This is going to be the most high-profile civil liberties case of this century. I ran the Julian Assange campaign, and that ended in the successful freeing of Julian Assange. We are going to run a campaign bigger than that campaign on that issue. I'm very glad to say that Gareth Pearce, who is simply the best defence solicitor in the country, has taken Chris Nyland's case. My message to the Met and to the government is you would be well advised to stop this now. This is going to be the most enormous political embarrassment for you. You've made a gross mistake, a completely unacceptable assault on civil liberties. And if I were you, I would step back now.